of Luke, where Jesus gives us three duties to deal with as we walk the narrow way. The 9th chapter, verse 23. And he said unto them, "If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Those are three very, very important things that we need to remember. And I believe these are very critical questions to be considered at the three crossroads on the narrow way. First, just a short review of this idea of three crossroads. If you weren't here last time, you're saying, what are you talking about, three crossroads that I addressed in the lesson 3 weeks ago? Well, as one is approaching crossroad number one, this is where the true seeker says yes to following Jesus in the narrow way. And that's as Jesus called them, like in John 8 and verse 12. He said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And you know, the light of life is actually the milk that is required by babes, illuminating the first principles of the oracles of God. But as they quickly grow, then they approach the crossroads number two, ready to say yes to taking up their cross daily as they follow Jesus. And Jesus emphasizes the importance of this action in Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." So then at last, at full maturity, when that is attained at crossroads number three, is when the obedient child of God says yes to denying one's self. And Paul explains God's grace in our maturity in Titus, the second chapter, verses 11 and 12. He says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age." Now, notice in that sequence, a progressive sequence along the narrow way through the three crossroads, just notice how the cost of discipleship increases as we mature, as our senses are trained to discern good from evil. So, how does the three crossroads apply to our struggles on the narrow way? Well, basically, the three crossroads defines a Christian's progressive growth toward maturity, as set forth in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verses 12 through 14. And Josh, thank you for reading that scripture for us. And I'm going to turn and read those verses to us again. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 12. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the actual words of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid meat. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unacquainted with the word of righteousness, for he is an infant or a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to distinguish between good and evil." Now this implies that we have a personal responsibility and accountability for the development of our discernment of the truth, leading to becoming obedient children of God. In Hebrews 6, then, the very next chapter in verse 1, he continues that. It's a continuation of that teaching where he tells us, and this is very important, he said, leave the elementary teachings about the Christ and press on to maturity. In other words, there's no standing still in the Christian life. Growing to maturity or in maturity requires a disciple to have thought things out for themselves, to be able to explain who they believe Jesus really is, have a deeper grasp not only of the facts but also of the significance of their Christian faith, and to know what to do with their life, and to reflect more and more of their likeness of Christ, and to rid themselves of old faults as they achieve new virtues. So now if we'll just remember, the three crossroads are based on three levels of spiritual nourishment. Milk in the crossroad number one, and as I call it, fruit and vegetables in crossroad number two, and meat in crossroad number three. Now, this spiritual diet is the means of progress along the narrow way. Starting with conversion as a disciple of Christ at crossroad number one, where as babes they gain understanding of the first principles of Christ, which leads them to crossroads number two, where they begin to mature in understanding the meaning of making Jesus Christ their Lord and presenting their members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. And finally, they attain full maturity at crossroad number three, where as steadfast Christians, they understand what it means to lay down their self for the Lord. That is, to crucify their old person of sin, like it says in Galatians 5:24, with its passions and desires. So basically, this is the perfection of our calling. The three crossroads is taking us through the perfection of our calling as obedient sons and daughters of God. So the remainder of this lesson is going to focus on the second and third crossroads. We looked at the first crossroads in the first lesson, but I think I gave enough information on that that hopefully you can pick up and follow along. The second crossroad is approached by growing disciples. And these are the babes in Christ who are now walking on their own. They're feeding themselves with fruit and vegetables from their own plate. They have now reached the point where it is not enough to simply have faith in Christ as the Son of God. Now they are confronted with the same question that Christ asked Peter in Matthew the 16th chapter, verses 15 and 16. And he asked Peter this question, "But who do you say that I am?" Now we know that Peter had been following Jesus for several months. And this was not the very beginning. He had been with him for several months. But up to this point in Peter's discipleship, he simply believed that Jesus was a very special person. However, after walking with him for these few months with Jesus and really getting to know Jesus, Simon Peter was able to answer, "You are the Christ," or the Messiah, or the Anointed One. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And at this point, Peter, I believe, recognized the holy lordship of Jesus. And that's what the second crossroad is about. We have to recognize Jesus for his holy lordship. Remember in the sixth chapter of John, when there were many of Christ's disciples, they were turning away from him and just leaving. And Peter said in verses 68 and 69, he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed, now notice this, we have believed and come to know, progression there, come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Then the Apostle John, what did he say about the purpose of his gospel message? Well, in John, the 20th chapter, verse 31, he said, these have been written, these things, this gospel of John, has been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. So this is what a growing disciple is confronted with at the second crossroads. When you come to that crossroad in life, who do you say that I am? A yes answer involves the determination to make Christ Jesus the Lord of their life. And this will involve making themselves as instruments of righteousness. Romans 6:13, he said, present yourselves to God as instruments of righteousness. And involved in this, in that terminology of instruments of righteousness is the word sanctification, which means a separation unto God. And he refers to that in the same sixth chapter of Romans, but in verse 19. So now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. So now let's turn our thoughts to how one struggles with their self-will at the crossroads on the narrow way. Our self-will that we all have and is good for us in many ways, but in some ways it's not. You know, there's a song in the Red Songbook at number 308. You might want to get a Red Songbook and open to 308. I think that this song teaches us about our battles with our self-will and its challenges at each of these crossroads. The title of that song is None of Self and All of These. Verse 1. I think verse 1 portrays the seeking sinner who is standing outside the narrow gate. Hasn't made up their mind yet. And here's what they look back and say, oh, the bitter pain and sorrow that a time could ever be when I proudly said to Jesus, all of self. Is that in the blue? The blue book? Okay. It's not in the red book then. It's in the blue book. Sorry. I put an R down instead of a B. 103. I'll give you time to get to that. Because when I thought about that song, it just really came out and kind of pulled my lesson together, I thought. Okay, in the very first verse is where he said, you know, very proudly said to Jesus standing outside the narrow gate, and he said, all of self, none of thee. Then in verse 2 depicts the one who says yes at the first crossroad by being born again. And here's what he says, or she says, yet he found me, I beheld him, bleeding on the cursed tree, and my wistful heart said faintly, well, some of self and some of thee. Verse 3. That represents the growing disciple saying yes at the second crossroad, where he says, day by day, his tender mercy, healing, helping, full and free, brought me lower while I whispered, less of self and more of thee. And then finally in verse 4, it describes the obedient son or daughter of God saying at the third crossroad, higher than the highest heavens, deeper than the deepest sea. Lord, thy love at last has conquered. None of self, but all of thee. And you know, these lyrics just make it very plain that our self-will is what keeps us from reaching the level of obedient sonship or daughterhood in God. And the key to this is replacing our will, our self-will, with God's will in all that we say and do. And we should all be very thankful that Christ has left us an example of this, showing the way. And we read in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh," here's what we're to do, "arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of the time in the flesh for the lust of man, but for the will of God." So here in this second crossroad, I think it's very important, because here we are between the milk and the meat diet. And I just simply called it the fruit and vegetables, but we're in between the milk and the meat diet, and it's a very important phase in our journey along the narrow way. And when properly feeding ourselves, we should be fit and ready for crossroad number three. Crossroad number three then is approached by those of full age. That is, those whose faculties have been trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. That's in Hebrews 5 and verse 14. So in other words, fully mature Christians will turn aside from the false and will faithfully follow the true. And the questions that must be answered at the third crossroad depends on how well a disciple understands the new birth they experienced upon entering the narrow way. You know, as a newborn babe at the crossroads number one, if they say, "Yes, I accept Christ," but I think their comprehension of the new birth is very nil. You know, they really don't understand, because this was kind of difficult to understand. However, with proper nourishment, and as they reach crossroad number two, they should be able to understand that without the new birth, one cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's what we read in John 3, verses 5 through 6. And then I think Peter explains this difficult concept of the new birth in 1 Peter, the 1st chapter, verse 23. "Having been born again," and by the way, we need to notice that this is an ongoing process, this birth and being born again. Yes, we're born one time when we come in, but this process continues. It's a growing process. "Having been born again through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever." So it's this Word that we have that is so very, very important. So at crossroad number three, then, the question is, how much of self are you willing to lay down? How much of self are you actually willing to lay down? The new spiritual birth is where a born-again disciple lays down their self-will, taking up God's will instead. And Paul addresses this problem in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 6, where he said, "For to be carnally minded," so that's self-willed, "is death, but to be spiritually minded is God-willed, and that is life and peace." So you see, this new spiritual birth allows the mature disciple to fully know God and willingly obey Him. And then we have probably one more question at that third crossroad. Are you willing to die with Jesus? And that is, spiritually, or it could be literally. Paul suggests the answer in Galatians 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. I have been crucified to the world. Christ died for me, and then I need to be crucified to the world. James explains it this way in James 1 and 27. He said, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distresses, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And then we have one of the final messages of the Apostle Peter, urging all fellow Christians in 2 Peter 3, verses 12 through 14. And here I summarize this by reading this. He's saying, we should be waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, waiting for new heavens and a new earth, where the righteous is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, now listen to this, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish. So now, as we kind of conclude these two lessons, just a brief summary. The three crossroads along the narrow road way. And these lessons have been focused on actually becoming obedient sons and daughters of God. And the question is, how can we do this? And that's what we've tried to put together in these lessons. How can we do this? And you know, we have that, as we said, we have that perfect example of Jesus. And here we have Jesus as a son of man becoming obedient as a son of God while he lived here, just like you and I. And we'll notice back in the fifth chapter of Hebrews again in verses 8 and 9. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So we can become obedient sons and daughters by choosing the right crossroads along the narrow way. And as we said, it all starts at crossroads number one, when we answer the gospel call to follow Jesus. We, by answering yes, I want to be born again, with my sins washed away in obedience to baptism, crucifying our old sinful person, starting a new life in the kingdom of God, anxious to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And with our joy of finding Jesus and realizing his love in dying for us, we begin saying, some of self and some of Jesus. Then, by adhering to a healthy diet consisting of the elementary principles of Christ, we can develop strong and eager minds, and we can answer yes at the next crossroad along the narrow way. So when we arrive to crossroad number two, it shouldn't take long from being a babe to be able to grow up and to be at crossroads number two, where young Christians gaining full recognition of Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah of God, that is, the Lord Jesus Christ with the words of eternal life. And now we are beginning to understand the holy lordship of Christ, just like Peter did. We have seen his tender mercy and his helping hand, and we begin to say, less of self and more of God's will. And then, as our abilities are trained by practice to distinguish good from evil, we are ready to face crossroad number three. And, as we said, have we noticed, the closer we get to full, obedient sonship or daughterhood with God, the harder the questions get to advance on the narrow way. And that's the way it is. But we can handle those. Now we must decide how much of self are we willing to sacrifice to be counted with the elect. Now we know God's love is higher than the heavens, deeper than the sea, and we finally acknowledge by saying, none of self, but all of thee. And if followed properly, we can be undoubtedly fully assured of being an obedient son and daughter of God. So as we close this lesson out, here's a couple of questions for each one to ask themselves. Where am I along the path of righteousness in my growth unto maturity? This is for you to ask yourself. Where am I along the path of righteousness in my growth unto maturity? And then another question you can ask yourself, well, how many crossroads have I successfully navigated? And that'll depend on your age in the Lord, whether you're still a babe in the Lord, whether you're a learning disciple, or whether you're a mature Christian. How many crossroads have I successfully navigated? And I'm going to leave the lesson with you right there. And then I want to close with an urging or an admonition that the Apostle Paul gave the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1. He said, finally, brothers and sisters, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you learn from us how you ought to live and to please God, as in fact you are doing, you should do so more and more. We've just got to keep on keeping on. There's no place to stop. Once you stop, it's invariably you're going to start slipping back. So we can't stand still. So with this lesson, we're going to extend the gospel invitation. If there are those who are standing outside the narrow gate to answer that question of saying, yes, I want to follow the narrow way. I want to be born again. I want to be in the kingdom of God. Or are you going to stay in the broad way? We give you that opportunity to come. Or if you want to make corrections in your life that you have been living in a way maybe that you shouldn't have and you want to bring those before the church, we give you that opportunity while we stand and sing.
Some golden days our hearts shall reap, what once in tears was sown, and longing I shall never weep, nor faint shall walk alone. The heart shall reap in joy. The heart that oft hath sown in
Thank you, Jason, for filling in for Dad. It's a week of firsts. I was thinking about, we had Tucker helping wait on the tables. Excellent job today. First time for him doing that. We had Jenity and Malik's taking of the Lord's Supper for the first time. I know that's it's a special thing. So you think back to when that happened for you. It's a blessed event. So a couple announcements here. We've got a business meeting following service today. Women's Bible study is also today after our afternoon service. Looks like it's going to be on James chapter 3. So we've got that. Ben, the next comment's important, basket dinner next Sunday. So for those who get super excited about basket dinners, next Lord's Day. There's a comment here about Dad. I talked to him. Some of you, I think a lot of you have talked to him. I talked to him yesterday. He said he's feeling better, but he just sounds like he's got a really bad cold, super congested. So I think he's recovering fine. Jay is also doing really well. We've been checking in, obviously, and a lot, and kidney is functioning as it's supposed to. He's getting stronger every day, but, you know, he's bruised and banged up and now dealing with the recovery part. So definitely can use your prayers. I know some have taken food over. Just check in with Jan. You know, she's if she doesn't text you immediately, you know, give her some time, but definitely check in with them. There's a comment here about marking your calendars for Sunday, May 1st, about Malachi's graduation party. So looking forward to that down at the Finley Park Pavilion. And that would be, you know, after services in the afternoon, 2:30 to 4:30. So any other comments? Looks like there's an RSVP, so make sure you do that so they can plan accordingly. Dwayne, thanks for your part two of the lesson. You know, we're all at a different season in our life. I kept thinking about that. We all have different seasons we go through. We're all at different crossroads, and we're all growing. And we can all help each other as we get to those crossroads, because guess what? Someone out there has been through that crossroad. And so we can help each other through that. So thank you for that. Comment here about Jenity having a birthday, April the 14th, so and later this week. And then we also have, so happy birthday, Jenity. And then April 8th, just a belated note here about Jason and Andrea and their anniversary. So happy anniversary. All right, let me pause for a second, open it up. I see we've got visitors. We're so thankful that you're here with us. Please return again. Other announcements we need to make? Yes, back in the back. Okay, our egg delivery has arrived, so thank you for that. So if you want some eggs, I'm sure there'll be plenty. Other?
Marlene also mentioned that it looks like the infection's coming back in her right eye.
Okay.
So she'd ask for prayer for that.
Okay, definitely keep Marlene in our prayers. Hopefully that infection will stay at bay, and it's good to see you for sure. Yes?
Well, Josh is first, too.
What's that? Oh.
Josh is
reading. Okay. See, multiple firsts. That's great.
I don't want to forget him.
No. Thank you for that call out. All right. Other announcements? If nothing else, James, would you close with us?
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for today. I thank you for the turnout today. We ask that you would be with those who are unable to make it with us, whether it be for health reasons or other complications in their life. I ask, Lord, that you would help them to take care of those so that they can be united again. We thank you for your written word, that we can study from it and that we can learn from it. Lord, we thank you so very much for the examples that you show us through your word on how we are to love each other, how we are to treat each other, those inside and outside the church, Lord. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your sending your son so that the debt for our sin could be paid through his death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, we thank you for every one that you put in our lives that help us along our way, to encourage us, to help us make it through those crossroads. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us be that helpful guide to someone that comes into our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.